Well, it looks like we have a news update from our field reporter. For those of you who don't know, we have Scoop Singleton out in the field. Scoop, it sounds like you're near some water. You want to tell us kind of what's going on?
Yes, thanks, Tyler. I have breaking news regarding the Zebedee Fishing Company. Word has it 4 of the employees have gone on strike, which is significant because there's only 5 employees in the company. And get this, they left simply because Jesus walked by and recruited them to join his team, just like he was a headhunter on LinkedIn.
So you're telling me that Jesus walked by and said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And these men dropped their nets and just followed Jesus?
Tyler, I'm Scoop. I do the scooping around here. You can't handle the scoop.
It appears the men put down their nets and walked away to become fishers of men. I'm Scoop. There it is.
It's tough to follow that sometimes. Good morning. I'm excited to be worshiping with you here at High Point. My name is T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're in our Matthew series. So go ahead and pull out your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be there. If you don't have a Bible or you don't have it on your phone, we have some in the back we'd love to give you. We're in our Matthew series today, and we're going to talk about Jesus calling his first disciples. And we're going to be talking about what following Jesus actually means. You ever played the game, word association game, where someone says a name and then you respond with the first thing that comes to mind? I want to play that with you today. However, I don't want you to say it out loud. I would be overwhelmed, all of you yelling at me. So, if you would just respond in your head with the first word that comes to mind. Here we go. The first word that comes to mind when you hear the word politician. Some giggles. You see, you thought a bad word, didn't you? All right, how about this? How about when you hear the word movie star? Oh, a little more excited about that one, huh? All right, how about athlete? Athlete. How about the word hero? And how about the word Christian? You see, a lot of different impressions come to people's mind when they hear the word Christian. And Jesus' early followers weren't really referred to as Christians. They were called disciples. Did you know that the word Christian only appears in the Bible 3 times? And the word disciple is used 281 times. It might be worth in our society to stop asking people if they're Christians, start asking people if they're followers of Jesus. This morning we're going to learn some truths about when Jesus first called some of his disciples. We're going to learn how those truths apply to us today, what it truly means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. But I want to end on a positive note, all right? So we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple after we identify what does not constitute a disciple. So what does Jesus not mean? Let's start here. First, I'm going to say it. I've said it to you before. It's kind of one of my things. Following Jesus doesn't mean just going to church. I think many people foolishly would say, yes, I follow Jesus. I go to church. But just going to church is not following Jesus. Going to church should be a part of following Jesus, but there's much, much more to it than that. You can go to church and not be a follower of Jesus at all. In fact, you can go to church and be possessed by a demon. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible says Jesus went into a synagogue to pray, and in verse 23 says there in the synagogue was a demon in a person who cried out against Jesus. So don't take a lot of solace that you are a follower of Jesus just because you come to church. All kinds of people who belong to the devil go to church. Going to church is not the same as following Jesus. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Going to church makes you a Christian about as much as standing in the parking lot makes you a car. Second, following Jesus does not mean just believing in who he is. James 2 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? James said even the demons believe in who Jesus is. John 12 says, nevertheless, many of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess, so they'd not be put out of the synagogue. The Bible says these people believed who Jesus was, but they were ashamed to confess him, and they were lost. They weren't saved because they didn't follow Jesus. Just believing is not following. Lastly, following Jesus doesn't mean that you like him. Okay? There are several Instagram accounts that I follow because they put up quotes from people that I like. There's one about, there's a C.S. Lewis account, even has a picture of him up there. I know he's dead. But they keep putting quotes from him, one-liners from him, from his sermons, from his books, from his interviews. And so I follow that. I follow him. I read his words. Following Jesus doesn't work that way. So now that we've covered all the things that following Jesus isn't, let's look at what following Jesus is. All right, I want to look at Matthew 4, starting in verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. We see two sets of brothers here called by Jesus to follow him in this passage. So let's jump right in. First, Jesus calls the willing. Jesus didn't necessarily call the greatest, the smartest, the best looking, the strongest, or the best at anything else. He called the willing. My son Thomas decided he wanted to play soccer last summer as a four-year-old. I don't know if you've ever watched four-year-olds play soccer before. It was a disaster. And I felt so sorry for the coach because he had been thrown into that position because his son was on the team. He got thrown into that position because they were short a coach. He showed up the day before. And as I was watching the first practice, I thought, I need to go home or jump in and help because this is hurting me. Now, mind you, I have never played soccer in my life. I am not built like a soccer player. You don't want me playing soccer. I might be a good goalie, maybe. So reluctantly, I stepped onto the field, and I helped with drills and such, made sure that the right kids were in the right line. Not like that. I don't run. I don't like to run. My philosophy is if I'm not being chased, I'm not going to run. I make fun of Tyler all the time because that's how he gets his stress out. That's how he focuses himself, is running. And I kind of make fun of him. I jokingly, and out of context, mind you, I quote Proverbs 28:1 that says, the wicked run when no one's chasing them. My point is that I was a reluctant participant in something I did not want to do and was not good at, and that I philosophically am opposed to. But But that's not how Jesus recruited his team. They weren't drafted. They were willing. Now, commercial fishermen, not exactly known as academic powerhouses or the cultural elite of the day. Even today, have you ever watched Deadliest Catch? Whew, you can only get hit in the head with so many lobster traps before it starts to take a toll. The power for what Jesus and his disciples would do in the ancient Middle East would come through Jesus and Jesus alone. And in the same manner, the power for what Jesus will do through you and through High Point Fellowship here in Cedar Park will come through Jesus and Jesus alone. So the question I have is, are you willing to follow him? We hear about this, we hear how almost inept the apostles were in Acts chapter 4. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, who we just talked about, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. They probably had a weird accent that did not say, I'm educated. They probably used slang that everybody wasn't a fan of or even understood. But they said what Jesus told them to say. And the Spirit spoke through them. Now, if you are super talented, if you in this room, if you think that you are super talented and that's why God is going to use you, I need you to get that out of your head right now. And at the same time, if you're untalented and you think that God can't use you, you got to get that out of your head right now too. The theme here today is going to be, it's not about us, it's all about Jesus. And if you're willing to do something, if you're willing to follow Jesus, he can do something supernatural through us and change the world. Jesus used the willing. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were willing to follow Jesus. So again, are you willing to follow him? Number two, Jesus does the calling. Jesus is the one who initiates the discipleship process. He calls us. Did you see these disciples going out to seek Jesus? No. They were in the middle working their jobs. Jesus sought them out and Jesus said, follow me. Some of us are struggling in different areas of our lives right now. Some of us have scars from our past. Some of us feel like we don't have value. Some of you are like me and can never remember a single time in your life that you were chosen first for a team of basketball or soccer. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is calling you. He's picking you. He wants you. And he's the one who calls. Jesus initiates the call. He empowers the call. He sustains the call. John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. He calls us to follow him. He's chosen us to be used as his disciples. Will you follow? That takes us to our third point. Jesus calls us to follow. I want to look at verse 19 again. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus calls us explicitly to follow him. Did you know that the word disciple means follower? The heart of being a disciple of Jesus is being a follower of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples to follow him. To follow Jesus doesn't mean just to walk behind him. but it's to go the way he's going. Do the things he does. Act the way he acts. Do you notice Jesus didn't even tell him where he was going? Jesus is going on to love other people, to heal people, to help people, to teach others. Jesus is going on to accomplish the mission that the Father gave him to accomplish. When Jesus calls us, he calls us to follow him, which includes learning from him, imitating him, and submitting to his plan for our lives. So a question for all of us to answer daily: how am I doing when it comes to following Jesus? Again, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. We don't need to follow our own desires, our preferences, our goals. We need to follow Jesus. You know what? Jesus doesn't want us to partially follow him either. He wants us to fully follow him. That's our next point. Jesus calls us fully. I want you to look at what these disciples did in verses 20 and 22. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And then immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Peter and Andrew left their nets and their business behind, and they followed Jesus. James and John left their father and their business in order to follow Jesus. Jesus called them to follow him fully. Jesus wants all of us. He wants all of our devotion, all of our resources, all of our commitments, all of our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, all our strengths. Amen. Jesus is calling us fully. Are you willing to leave something behind to follow Jesus? Are you willing to leave your aspirations behind? Are you willing to leave your hurt behind? Leave your money behind? Leave your time behind? Leave the friends who are distracting you behind? Leave your stuff behind? Follow Jesus and follow him fully. In order for us to be truly seen as disciples, he has to be a priority in our lives. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Lastly, Jesus calls for us to follow him faithfully. As we follow him fully, he wants us to be faithful to the task that he's given us. And what is that main task? I'm so glad you asked. Before Jesus left the earth, he gave us a really, really clear command on what we're supposed to do. We call it the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, and it says this: "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" When you memorize that in a different version, it's hard to read sometimes. Jesus has given us a task to do on this earth. And as we follow him, he wants us to follow through in the task that he's given us. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew in verse 19, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." To be a follower of Jesus means to be a fisher of men. To be a follower of Jesus means to be committed to the Great Commission. Be a follower of Jesus means to be developing disciples. To be a follower of Jesus means to be faithful. Remember, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. The main task that Jesus has given for us to follow is for us to follow him and to help others follow him. He's calling us to be disciples, to develop disciples. In his book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, Robert Coleman said this: "When will the church learn this lesson? Preaching to the masses, although necessary, will never suffice in the work of preparing leaders for evangelism. nor can occasional prayer meetings and training classes for Christians, for Christian workers do the job. Individual women and men are God's method. God's plan for discipleship is not something, but someone. Jesus is calling us to be faithful to the task of developing disciples. He's developing us, and he's calling us to help him develop others. And that's our bottom line for today. If you take nothing else away from today, I want you to know Jesus is calling disciples who will develop disciples. Jesus is calling us to follow him fully and faithfully. And part of calling, part of that calling means we're to invite others to get to know Jesus. Invite others to follow Jesus. Invite others so we can help them follow. This year, as a church, I want us to really push together. I want us to encourage each other. I want us to pray for one another to really live as followers of Jesus. I will do my best to make sure that the preaching team models that and pushes that with you. But it takes you doing it that will really make the difference. So I have challenges for you this week. Homework, if you will. Yeah, some of you are like, I haven't had homework in a long time. All right. Yeah. Ideally, these would be things you do every week, but let's stick with this week for now. Right? I don't want to overtax anyone. So I have two challenges for you this week. If you're taking notes, here they come. Number one, contemplate your call to discipleship. Are you a follower of Jesus? What does that mean to you? I want you to take some time this week, contemplate what it means to you to follow Jesus. Compare what you read in the Word of God to what you think it means. Do those add up? And if not, something needs to change, and it ain't Scripture. Number two, contemplate who is your one. Now, let me explain this terminology a little bit. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a parable about lost sheep. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Then he comes home and he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep that is lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Our loving God has committed to work tirelessly to recover the lost. And we are called to that same relentless pursuit of the lost within our circle of influence. Now, in this gospel, Matthew is weaving threads of the Old Testament to show a beautiful picture of Jesus as Savior. And I believe that God is taking the threads of your life and weaving them together in his grand plan for both you and for the people around you, the people in your circle of influence, the people that you come into contact with every week. God is the great shepherd. He's the one, and you, as the 99, should be doing, should be going after the lost as well. A focus on the one is how we all grow in him. And as the 99, I have to ask you, are you pursuing the one? Who is your one? Perhaps God's already laid someone on your heart, on your mind, for you to develop as a disciple. So start praying for that person right now. Maybe you have no idea where to start. Ask God this week to start impressing on your heart someone that you can lead closer to Jesus. This morning, if you are not a follower of Jesus, I want you to know how you can follow Jesus today. At the end of this service, our shepherds will be up front, and they would love to talk to you about what that looks like. They would love to talk to you about discipleship and baptism and our church and all the things. They want to have that conversation with you, and so does any of our staff. I want you to know this. You are the one that God is seeking, and we, as the 99, would love to be the ones to welcome you into the fold. And for the rest of you, the 99, I would love for all of you to bow your heads. And I want you to think about this, answer these questions honestly before God. Here we go, in your head quietly. Am I a follower of Jesus? Am I fully following Jesus? Am I faithfully following Jesus? Am I helping others follow Jesus? And am I willing to take the steps to really follow Jesus? You can pick your heads up now. High Point Fellowship, can you imagine what it would look like? What would happen in our church, in our community, in our world, if the 99 that we have here committed to following Jesus faithfully and fully? Can you imagine if we all developed just one disciple this year? Just one. What if we relentlessly prayed and looked for openings to find the one in our circle of influence? You are so much more powerful than you know. And it's because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And as the 99, I want to reiterate Jesus' command for us. Go, follow Jesus, and help develop others to be counted among the 99. God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for the 99 that you've brought here. Thank you so much for the one that we are going to seek on your behalf, the one that we are going to pray for, relentlessly look for. I pray that we can bring them into the fold, help them find their one, and keep moving on. Remind us this whole week, Lord, that it is not about us. It's about you. Amen.